let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody, coast to coast, This Week in America. Our guest on today's This Week in America, therapist Ellen Fitzke, overcomes loss and depression, shares advice in Conversations with My Soul, stories and reflections on life, death, and love after loss, as she reflects on her own discovery of peace and happiness in the midst of loss and hopelessness. When her younger sister died suddenly, Ellen's life came to a halt. She struggled with her own mortality and sought to make sense of it all. Ellen is a licensed clinical professional counselor who practices in Maryland. She's been working with people in a therapeutic setting for over 14 years, while working with many others in a coaching capacity for over 35 years. A former Division I basketball coach, she has delivered communication and team-building training to the U.S. Army and educators all across the country. Known for her genuine, direct, warm, and encouraging style, dedicated to helping others become their best selves. Ellen Fitzke, author of Conversations with My Soul, Stories and Reflections on Life, Death, and Love After Loss, joins us on This Week in America. Ellen, welcome to the program. It's so great to have you with us today.
Thanks, Rick. It's great to be here.
You know, I love what you've done in the book. Everybody goes through a situation like this, and we would think, boy, with your background, with your training, you probably would go through this and have everything together. Yet, as I said, your world came to a halt. Talk about the inspiration to share this story to help others in your book, Conversations with My Soul.
Yeah, sure. when you experience grief and loss, even though, you know, I am a therapist. Everybody has a personal experience with it, and it's a universal topic. You know, there's not one of us that has not lost someone that we love. There's not one of us that has not lost a job. There's not one of us that has not lost maybe a friendship, and there's probably not one of us that hasn't lost a pet. And so, you know, loss is loss, and I wrote the book because losing my sister Patricia, as you said in the introduction. But along with that, I got out of a relationship, so that was another loss. I jumped into another relationship, and that was only a short-lived time. And then I had one of my dogs pass, and then my other dog pass. And so I had about five losses that just stacked up on top of each other in a matter of 2 years. And anybody that's been through the grief process, I think would understand that you do the best you can to get through.
Yes.
And basically, it's not a straightforward line up. There's a lot of jagged edges to it. And there's a lot of stages in it. And you don't complete one stage necessarily and not come back to it. So It really, with my sister's, the loss of my sister, it really, really put me on my heels. And it brought me to my knees, to be very honest. And I had to figure out a way to get through the grief. And this book was born of my journal writing that I used during that time to work through all the losses that I had.
We will go through some of, you'll share some of the stages, what you went through. The book is Conversations with My Soul, Stories and Reflections on Life, Death, and Love After Loss. Ellen Fitzke is the author, our guest on the program. Fitzke is F-I-T-Z-K-E-E. Remember that because that's her website, ellenfitzke.com. You go there, get information on the book, buy it there as well. We'll give you all of that information as we go through the program. Briefly, give me a little bit more about your background, because your life has been helping people as a teacher, as a coach, as a mentor. And this is another part of that, isn't that? By giving back what you went through, sharing it to help other people.
Yes, absolutely. It's my life calling. I'm the oldest girl of eight children that my parents had. And my parents died fairly young. And I think that's one of the reasons why I took Patricia's loss as hard as I did, because I kind of had, you know, motherly instincts with her. It's been difficult. But in my life work, I have been put into a position to be able to help others. And in doing that, it's helped me become who I am today. And I've had the role of a teacher. So after I graduated college, I got involved in teaching. I taught on one side all girls, and on the other side all boys. So I taught boys, and I actually coached the girls' basketball team. I did that for a few years. And then from there, I decided to really take my coaching career to the next level. And I worked at UNC Charlotte and the University of Rhode Island as an assistant coach at the Division I level. And then I actually got my first job as the head basketball coach in Maryland at Towson State University at the time. Now it's Towson University. And from there, I had a nice career of probably 13 years there. So all total about 22 years in coaching. And then I changed hats, went back to school, got another degree. And this time I got a master's in counseling and in mental health. And with that, it's very, very similar to coaching. You just kind of change the hat that you wear, so to speak.
Yes.
And I became, a school counselor, professional school counselor, which I still do. I work in a high school, and also a mental health, and as you said, a licensed therapist. So it's been quite a journey. But in every one of those jobs, I've loved what I've done. I never thought I would find something as fulfilling to me as I had with basketball coaching. Basketball has been part of my life since the time I was very, very young. I was fortunate to go to college and have it paid for. So it's therapy and working with kids now has fulfilled me in more ways than I ever thought I could be fulfilled. So it's been a wonderful life so far.
And as a basketball coach, I understand the first coach in Towson to win 100 games of success at that level. And you're back now working with young people, as you say, touching their lives directly, especially at a very vulnerable age for these students. This book was published in 2014. That's about 6 years ago. Mm-hmm. Is it relevant today? Is it as relevant in your life today? You know, things change. And I'm looking through this, and it looks like this pretty well covers it. I wasn't even sure in the beginning when it was written, it still appears very relevant today. Is it, when you look back on it, it still applies, doesn't it?
Yes, absolutely. Because you know, the topics that I cover in the book and the struggles that I go through are relevant and kind of more relevant today for more people. Obviously, I wrote the book because it was a personal losses for me and a way to get my life back going forward. But in today's world, with everything that's going on, with a number of people that are feeling anxiety and depression,
yes,
and the people that have lost loved ones during this time, people that have lost businesses and their livelihoods, it's probably it's a great book because besides talking about grief and loss, I really try to talk about some of the skills and strategies that may help to move a person forward during very, very difficult times.
Ellen's book is Conversations with My Soul, Stories and Reflections on Life, Death, and Love After Loss. Ellen Fitzke, F-I-T-Z-K-E-E. Her website is ellenfitzke.com. Go to our website and you can link on and get all the information on Ellen and the book. To do this properly, you really needed to expose yourself to bring us into your life because it's so relatable. Maybe not going through exact circumstances, but circumstances when we have loss in our lives. How difficult was that for you to be that vulnerable and lay it out there in order to help other people?
It wasn't my initial intention, to be very honest with you.
Yes.
You know, I journaled during the times of my loss, and for anyone that has not journaled, it's a great way to just be raw and to get your thoughts out on paper and your feelings, and it helps you to be able to process things and also make some connections possibly. So that whole process is a vulnerable process. But when you're writing a journal, you don't necessarily write it as if anybody's going to read it. You know, it's personal. It's your thoughts. It's what you go through. And after I went through this, there was a calling within, and call it an intuition, call it divine intervention. But I got a strong push that you have to publish this. You need to share this with the world. And it was, you know, I'm tearing up a little bit because it was quite humbling. And that's how the book was born. So I didn't set the intention, but I'm so glad that I had the courage.
When you read the reviews, that's one of the universal comments that she really opened up, and that helped me. There's something about you're being honest. We understand what you're going through. We're going through similar pain, or we can relate to your pain. And that that factor, I think, is why this book is so important and doing so well, Conversations with My Soul. I get a sense of hope, even though you write about grief and loss. How is that possible, and how long does it take to get to that point? Because I know you went through a lot. You were talking about all of the multiple losses you went through.
Yeah. You know, everybody's different. I will say that. I think I'm a slow processor compared to other people. You know, it's not that I take any type of joy in grieving, but I try to work through it so that I can move forward. And you know, you never forget loss. It becomes a part of your life, and you learn how to cope with it regardless of what that loss is. And, you know, for me, it took at least 2 years to try to become or rejoin the human race, so to speak, and really get moving in a good direction for myself. So it takes everybody a little bit. It depends on who you are. But when you have complicated grief, which is what I had in terms of losses stacking on top of losses, it gets a little bit messy because one loss bleeds into the next, which bleeds into the next.
Yes.
And so you're not sure if you're coming or going sometimes. And, you know, in the book, when you read it, you'll see that sometimes it's I'm just being hit over the head left and right, and I'm not sure which way I'm going. And I'm very honest about that. And I think that's important for people to know, because it's not always a rational process. It's irrational. You know, you're at the lowest lows sometimes. But if you're courageous enough and you allow yourself to feel the feelings, which a lot of people don't want to do because it's unpleasant, but if you allow yourself to feel the feelings and get through it, there is a silver lining, and you can find, I guess, peace, joy, happiness through the process. And at the end of the process, you, I guess, develop a new normal. And when you develop the new normal, you emerge as a more resilient person, a stronger sense of self. And in some ways, as I say, a humble person, but a person that isn't afraid to be who they are and to, you know, share themselves with other people.
We have to take a break. When we come back, I want to talk about maybe a skill or a strategy that you talk about in your book that really was helpful for you. And we'll do that after we take a break. Ellen Fitzke is our guest, F-I-T-Z-K-E-E. The book is Conversations with My Soul, Stories and Reflections on Life, Death, and Love After Loss. You're listening to This Week in America. We're back after these messages. Back on today's This Week in America, our guest is Ellen Fitzke, author of Conversations with My Soul, Stories and Reflections on Life, Death, and Love After Loss. When we left, Ellen, I was going to ask you about maybe something that you write about in the book, that a strategy, a skill that really was helpful to you. Was there maybe one or two that jump out that are like, okay, this was really the foundation for me turning my life around?
Yes, absolutely. I think the first one I would say, and when I wrote the book, it wasn't as popular as it is today. But I think just based on the popularity of it, mindfulness, people will attest that if you can learn to live in the present moment and kind of let the past go and don't worry so much about the future, you can find moments of peace and joy even while you're going through a painful time. And it's in these times, it's in just being present and being there with other people that helps you to get through. And the other thing I would say, and this is something that I've worked on or continue to work on today, so it started back when I wrote the book, but it continues today, it's intuitiveness. It's being willing to, you know, go within and ask myself, you know, what's the best decision for my highest good in this particular situation? What can I do that, you know, keeps me on track? And learning to listen to the voice within. I think all of us have that voice. Very few of us tap that person or that inner self. And what I have found is that thinking from the heart and listening to that voice has brought me great decisions over the years, better decisions than I ever could have made on my own. And learning to, as I said, trust that person takes practice. You have to do it. You have to seek that inner knowingness that you have. But when you do and you learn and you continue to seek that knowledge and wisdom, you get better and better at it, and it becomes part of your life. And I have to say that at this point in my life, I feel very grounded. I make good decisions, and I'm very happy with where I am in my life and the person that I am.
All of this is in much more detail in Ellen's book, Conversations with My Soul. Ellen Fitzke is the author and our guest. Her website is ellenfitzke.com. How about a skill or a strategy that you use quite frequently to help other people? Are there those that are sort of like almost, I don't want to say universal necessarily because everybody is different, but a lot of people can use these?
Yes. It depends on where a client is, I guess, on their journey. But, you know, someone that's just beginning and has a lot of questions, it's helping them. It's me meeting them where they are and helping them to realize that they're good enough and they deserve to be happy. They deserve to be loved. They deserve to be adored. It's helping them raise their self-esteem, because many of us do not or have not learned that, or we have it when we're born and it's stripped somehow throughout our life. But it's helping them to really appreciate and love themselves. And that's something that I had to go through and I had to learn. And so I do think that's really important work that I do with other people. Because once you learn to love yourself, your whole life changes and you understand more about why you do what you do. And you become more of a servant in life. You become more of a giver. And you don't expect anything in return. You're able to do things just because you want to help someone else. And so that bleeds into the second thing, which is when people are really struggling with anxiety or depression or loss, one of the things that I really talk to them about is getting outside themselves. And we all have times when we have that poor me attitude, and that's okay. That's natural. But after we're finished the pity party, it's time to help someone else. And if you can help a neighbor, if you can volunteer for an organization, if you can you know, walk someone else's dogs because you're home all day and the people across the street work all day. It doesn't matter what it is, but if you can get outside yourself and realize that the world is much bigger than just you and your problems, serving others is critical, I think, to not only making the world a better place, but in also bringing up yourself, making you feel better about you. And so serving others would be the other thing that I work with clients on.
Time is going by so quickly. A couple minutes left with Ellen Fitzke, author of Conversations with My Soul. I want to take a minute just to talk about the impact the pandemic is having on the students, the young people you deal with. They're going through anxiety. They're going through loss. They're going through grief. They have to be. I mean, their lives are different. Suddenly, we may have a graduation ceremony. We may not. Getting into college is a whole different thing. What impact is this going to have long term on these young people?
I'm hoping not as bad as an impact that I think it will have, to be very honest with you. I think that the great thing about our children today is that they are resilient and that they have been through some rough times. And I was very worried about our seniors that just graduated because they lost graduation all those different things that you mentioned. But now we have another whole class that they haven't even, a lot of kids haven't even been in their schoolhouse. They haven't had the connections with their friends. They haven't had the connections with the teachers, and they're applying to college. We don't know what's going to happen. And so I'm hoping that they, that they had empathy and they were observing what happened for last year's class, but they are actually in more need than the kids that just graduated. Yes. But I will say that our that generation, they're pretty well grounded, and they even though there is anxiety and there is depression, they know how to reach out and ask for help. And that's what I would say, that I would tell anybody that if it feels like it's getting too much, talk to an adult and make sure that you reach out when you need to reach out. That's a skill. That's a lifelong skill that a lot of youngsters don't have. But I think if we can help them to develop that, I think that long term, they'll be okay, because we are interconnected and we can help. As adults, we can help.
Got about a minute and a half left in the program. Are you working on another book? And I understand if you are, possibly your dogs will be involved in this very important part of your life. And boy, we need pets around now more than ever before to take our mind off what's going on in the real world and sort of escaping with them. Working on anything now?
Yes, I am. And I'm glad that you asked, because this book that we're talking about today is a little heavy. So it's nice to smile about a little bit lighter of a subject. But I am. I'm in the book that we talked about today. I do talk about my dogs, and there's some nice little some stories about them in there. And so when you read that, if you love pets, if you are connected to your pets, I'm working on a book about one of my dogs, and his name is Frankie Peter. And it's told through his eyes, and it'll be about his life. And it's a love story. So I'm excited about it. And I think that people will enjoy it.
Well, you're a very talented author, and you've really touched so many people that you'll never meet in the classroom or as you're dealing with students. You can see them, although virtually now, but you can see them. There's so many people that you're impacting worldwide because of your book, Conversations with My Soul, Stories and Reflections on Life, Death, and Love After Loss. Ellen Fitzke, F-I-T-Z-K-E-E. Her website is ellenfitzke.com. And Ellen, but they can go there, and how do they go about ordering the book? By going to your website?
I would love it if people did order the book from the website. There are other places, Amazon, and that you can order it from. But if you go to my website, there's a media page, and right on the media page, you'll see a picture of the book. And then underneath it, there's a place where you can use PayPal or debit or credit, and pick the book up for $15. And then there's a contact notes section where you can write your address in the notes and give me, you know, your name and your email address, and I will work to get that book right out to you. Now, if you don't use, you know, PayPal, or you don't like to put a debit or credit card on a website, that's okay too. Please go to my website and fill out one of the contact forms and include your email, and I will contact you directly, and I will get your information, and we'll work out a way for me to get that book to you. I'd love everybody that's listening today to give it a read. I think it'll be something that you'll pick up from time to time, even after you read it, because there's a lot of, I think, good gems of information and wisdom in there. I know I still pick it up sometimes, and again, I look at it and I'm like, did I really write this?
And it's helpful for you. If it's helpful for the author, it will be helpful for the reader. That's always something you can count on. Ellen Fitzke has been our guest. Fitzke is F-I-T-Z-K-E-E. The book Conversations with My Soul, Stories and Reflections on Life, Death, and Love After Loss. Book available at our website, ellenfitzke.com. And, of course, go to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. You can link on directly to Ellen's website. Ellen, it's been a pleasure. Hopefully we can do this again. So much more that we could talk about. Thank you for spending some time with us on the program.
I very much enjoyed it, Rick. Thanks for having me. I appreciated the questions, and I look forward to talking with you again.
Thank you, Ellen Fitzke, our guest, Conversations with My Soul. You'll find information on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Back on today's program after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.